So there you are. And here we are with a VE Day 40 Years On programme, looking back on VE Day 40 Years On. Yes, this is me shortly on Metro Radio Newcastle upon Tyne from the 8th of May 1985, when the country was commemorating 40 years since VE Day in 1945. So the audio is to come, just a little bit of a setup before we go any further about Metro Radio and my part in it. First of all, one of my listeners was a certain young student at Durham University called Jerry Vine, better now known to all of us and loved as Jeremy Vine, him of the Daily Current Affairs and Music programme on Radio 2. And he was very keen on getting into radio and indeed ended up doing some overnight shows when I was there on Metro. But then he was a student and was listening to me doing the mid-morning show, which was my main show from Monday to Friday on Metro Radio. Well, I confronted and ambushed Jeremy many years later, in fact, in October 2014 at a reunion of Metro Radio, and this is the audio, in fact, from my flip cam video. Remember those? As I ambushed him at the bar and got him to say, well, this is what I wanted him to say anyway, that he owed everything he knows about mixing serious speech and music in a Daily Current Affairs show from me on Metro Radio all those years before. Let's see what he says.
Say on video how fantastic I was and what an inspiration I was for you.
Duncan, you were amazing. It was Duncan's Duncan.
There you go.
I used to listen as a student.
Oh.
Are we on?
I can die happy now.
No, seriously.
Brilliant.
Well, God bless you, Jeremy. Love the show and all of that. Before we go any further from that, let's talk about Metro Radio itself, to put it in a bit of historic context. It was an independent local radio service for Tyne and Wear in northeast England. And let's hear a little bit more about it, a little bit more of the background. This then is the write-up for Metro Radio from the IBA handbook from 1977. Metro Radio, ILR, independent local radio, that is for Tyne and Wear. And there's a map, as there is, for each station showing the transmission area and the main towns within it. And it says on VHF, FM with stereo capability, 97 megahertz, maximum ERP, 5 kilowatts. That's not too bad. But then we look to the medium wave transmitter, mono only, 261 meters, 1151 kilohertz, transmitter power, 1 kilowatt. That's all, compared with the mighty Radio 1 medium wave or AM transmitter. Okay, so the address is Metro Radio, Newcastle-upon-Tyne, NE99 1BB. The executive directors, Sir John Hunter, CBE, DSC, DL, chairman. N.S. Robinson, that's Neil Robinson, managing director. J. Josephs, BA, ACA, company secretary. A. Holton, sales director. And K. Rowntree, director of news and current affairs. Now, it says, in an area like the northeast with so many local papers, news and sport obviously figure largely in Metro's output. On any weekday, there are 21 newscasts in 20 hours of broadcasting, ranging from shorter news headlines peppering the breakfast and drive time shows, to the 10-minute news at 8 a.m, the 15-minute bulletin at 1 p.m, and the 30-minute news digest Metro World in the early evening. A replacement newsroom for Kevin Rowntree and his editorial staff was recently commissioned at the Swalwell Studios. The new equipment, layout and facilities reflecting the experience in specialised regional coverage derived since the station first went on the air in July 1974. The sports department, headed by Charles Harrison, has been expanded, and a special news information department has been set up to coordinate the gathering and presentation of road, traffic, weather, police, Coast Guard and what's on information across the northeast. The success of James Wales' Night Owl's phone-in has led to the arrival of a second phone-in programme, the daytime John Coulson line. It ranges over all the serious and current topics of discussion of daily interest in the North East, from rates, taxes and unemployment, to compulsory car seat belts and why bread doesn't seem to taste like it used to. It promises to become every bit as popular as Night Owls, which has a substantial audience in the small hours. And that's the show I was to present one night a week. Hospital broadcasting systems throughout the region now relay Metro to patients for the larger part of the day, including programmes with a growing following like A Question of Faith, presented by the Reverend Joe Poulter, and a variety of specialist music programmes comprising classical, jazz and big band. With each broadcasting day, Metro continues to enhance its reputation and authority in northeast England. So there we are. That was the IBA View back in 1977, and I was there from 1984. There we are, a little bit more about the background to Metro Radio. My main competition on Metro was Radio 1, and specifically Simon Bates, one of those great DJs that has what radio consultant Valerie Geller calls a third testicle voice, incredibly deep voice, enhanced by a certain microphone equalisation at the BBC and compression and all sorts of other things to make him sound really butch and sincere. But what was the year, we used to say, because he started his show each morning before I came on air with the Golden Hour, which is very successful. But even more successful was the incredibly popular but mawkish Our Tune. And quite honestly, when that came on at 11 o'clock, we may as well have shut down the transmitter. So many people switched over to hear Our Tune. Fortunately, many of them tuned back again. But Simon was my main competition on the mid-morning show. I also did a weekend show on Sundays from 9 till 12. And what, a year or so after starting on Metro, I also took over the late night phone-in called Night Owls, a legendary show, as mentioned in the IBA yearbook, on a Thursday night into Friday morning. So I was kept pretty busy. And I was kept pretty busy on air during the mid-morning show because I had to do it all myself, you know, all the technical bit and the fading in and fading out, queuing up all the records. You had to find each record and then take it carefully out of the sleeve, put it on the turntable, find the loudest part of the disc by looking at the groove, how it was concentrated to be the darkest side of the record, and put the needle on the on that, and then take a level of pre-fade level so that you didn't get the levels all over the place. And then cue the record up, so that had to be done for each record. Then I had to find all the commercials from a log, and all the commercials were on separate tape cartridges, as were all the jingles. And then I had to log everything as well as I went along, and that was all the details of each record played, and that, if I can remember it, all of them in this order: title, artist, composer, arranger, publisher, time actually used up by the record, and whether it was needle time or non-needle time. This was very important because we only had 9 hours of precious needle time of commercial gramophone records per day in a 24-hour radio. And we had to put the rest in with non-needle time music, and that deserves a whole podcast to itself as how we got round the ludicrous needle time restrictions. Oh yes, I also had to drive, as we say, the news. So the news person would come in usually about 30 seconds before the hour with their various inserts, and I used to have to play those on a cue and then fade the microphone back up at the end of it. And I had to monitor the medium wave every 15 minutes. We monitored mostly off FM, so we knew immediately if there was a problem with the transmitter, the FM transmitter, but also had to sign a log that they had listened every 15 minutes to the medium wave to make sure that was functioning okay. And what else? I had to sort out guests, of course, and take their microphone level and chat to them whilst I was always trying to keep an eye on the timing and back timing each hour so it finished at 11 o'clock with a record, or at the top of the hour with a record, and I wasn't having to fade the record or waffle on for a minute or two. That was regarded as very unprofessional. And try and keep the whole thing just moving along and being as slick as possible, which was quite a task with all the different elements in the show. Anyway, let's see what you think. So this is what they call scoped. That is to say, they've taken all the music out, and unfortunately, they've also taken the chunky bits of speech out when I do the interviews and so forth. But this is from Aircheck Downloads. We thank them for keeping this as an archive online and preserving it for future generations to enjoy. And well, let's hear what it sounded like. This is me on Metro Radio on May the 8th, 1985, talking about May the 8th, 1945.
That's the latest news. It's 3 minutes past ten.
Thanks very much. Tony Cartledge today wearing the dinner jacket, the Metro Radio Newsreader's dinner jacket, as we get into the wartime mood today to celebrate VE Day, 40th anniversary of. Plenty about that in today's show, and plenty of great 1985 music as well, like this one from Pat Benatar. Pat Benatar says, love is a battlefield. 40 years ago today, the battlefields all over Europe finally fell silent after nearly six very long and hard years. And today's programme, of course, we're reflecting that, the 40th anniversary celebrations of VE Day. And later on, I'm going to be talking to the daughter of what could be described as an ordinary soldier, if there is such a thing. He certainly had some extraordinary exploits. He was an ordinary lad, though, from Gateshead when he got involved with the army. In fact, he was in the Territorial Army prior to the outbreak of World War II, and then was involved in the invasion and liberation of Europe and much else besides. So we're going to be looking at the ordinary soldier's perspective of World War II. And very soon I'm going to be talking to the author of a book which looks at what life was like in Germany after war. What is it like to be a conquered nation? And what was it like to be one of the troops who had to look after things in Germany after the end of the war? And that's one angle, if you like, that we're looking at today. Of course, the usual features as well. Who done it? 100 to 1 chance. And as it is Wednesday, it'll be Helen White with the cookery. Now, though, another lady to sing for us. This time, Lulu. And the title track from a great film, To Sir With Love. Just gone 10 minutes past 10, May the 8th, 1985 on Metro Radio. We will be playing one or two tracks from the period of around about Victory Day over Europe in 1945. A little bit of nostalgic music this morning. Got a couple of great tracks lined up, as well as all the current stuff, of course, and the hits from the 50s, 60s, 70s and early 80s. It's all to come between now and a quarter to one.
People of Durham, come on down to National Express.
Yes, here we go then with Clue 2 in today's whodunit. And as it's Wednesday, it's ladies. Okay, or one particular lady indeed. She was born in a London ambulance on the way to the maternity hospital and was aged one when Queen Victoria died. She had some ordinary people in her family tree, including a London plumber called George Smith. But she is, by any definition, an extraordinary lady. That's what we're trying to find out and who we're trying to find out. Who done it today? More clues to come, of course. Okay. Dance round the, whatever you like to this one now. Metro Radio Chartbreaker from the Corgis. Yeah, Doris Day there with Les Brown and his orchestra. From about the time of VE Day, I say, playing a couple of tracks which were very popular at the time, the original version there. We're going to play something more upbeat in just a moment at the start of Duncan's Duncan, which is next.
Good day, laddie. I will leave yourself spare parts for Mutica.
Yes, Duncan's Duncan time. Oh, yeah. And thanks for all your letters that have started to come in now for your mugs. We'll start to give those out tomorrow, in fact. Keep them coming in if you would like a special mug to do your Duncan's Duncan. Don't forget, I want to hear from you. But I want to hear what you do have to dunk at about this time. If you don't, just say you don't. That's all right. A particular favourite record you'd like to hear, and also a few mentions. As I say, we'll start giving those out from tomorrow morning. But let's continue our VE Day celebrations with a bit more music from the time. Just before I play the track, though, we've had a note about a combined Ex-Servicemen's Association's 40th anniversary of the liberation of Europe due. In fact, it's a parade from South Burns starting at 6:45 this evening, and the retreat will be sounded at 7:20. And then there'll be a buffet dance in the Greenbank Workmen's Club at 8 o'clock this evening. Tickets are £3 each, apparently, which are available for members of the Ex-Servicemen's Association or the Chesterler Street Royal British Legion. So why not get involved with that if you're in that area? 40 years separated the recordings in our Duncan's Duncan today. We started off with Opus 1, the classic track from Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra, and followed that up with what I thought was a nice theme for today, Hopes and Dreams. That, in fact, is the title track from the new David Grant album, which has just been released on Chrysalis. Yeah, that's Duncan's Duncan for today. Don't forget to keep that mail coming in. The address, Duncan's Duncan, care of me, Richard Duncan. Not Dickie, not Dick or Ricky. Richard Duncan, Metro Radio, Box 261, Newcastle upon Tyne. Don't forget, very soon we're going to be continuing in the celebrations of the end of the war in Europe today, 40 years on. And I'm going to be speaking to Sybil Bedlingham, whose father, in fact, kept copious notes and diaries of his experiences in World War II as an ordinary soldier. And those diaries and letters have gone on display at the Moat House Hotel, where, of course, we were on Monday. And I'll be talking to Sybil about them. In fact, she's going to be bringing them in the studio. We'll have a quick rummage through in just a few minutes' time. But before anything else, though, clue two in today's Whodunit Ladies' Day. When she was three, her father became 14th Earl of Strathmore, and she married a rather shy man at the age of 23, who achieved a position in life which at the time was never expected of him, and the couple had two daughters. Plenty more clues to come. Don't ring in yet, please, even if you think you do know. Yeah, more of that wartime stuff. Music from around about the end of the war there. That was Accentuate the Positive. Bing Crosby and the Andrews Sisters there. Thanks to Sybil for coming in with those letters and diaries, which are on display at the Moat House Hotel in Wall's End, by the way, if you want to go along and see them. Just gone 3 minutes to 11, Metro Radio, on the 40th anniversary of VE Day. A magic touch there from Loose Ends. Serving the Northeast from the Northeast, round the clock. This is Metro Radio.
It's 11 o'clock. This is John McKechnie with Metro News. Metro News, it's 4.5 minutes past 12.
Thanks very much, John. And the main lunchtime news and sports at 12:45, of course. Richard Duncan with you till then. Final clue in Whodunit and your chance to ring in and win. And some great music, too. Like this one from Propaganda. This is Jewel. Good afternoon to you. Yes, the afternoon of May the 8th, 1985. VE Day, 40 years on in the Northeast and all over Europe, of course. Celebrations galore, including, of course, one at Tiffany's this afternoon. Lots of the night owlers going down there. Should be a lot of fun down in Tiffany's in Newcastle and all kinds of other celebrations throughout the region, of course. So a couple of people who aren't celebrating, though, today are people who have had their cars nicked recently. And we're getting quite successful in managing to find these cars and get the rightful owners back to them. So let's see if we can have some more success today. First of all, a blue Mini, number THG389L, which was stolen from North Shields overnight, Saturday to Sunday. Last weekend. And then a silver Cortina 2-litre GL, number XCU651T, which was stolen from the Burnmore Cricket Club. And finally, a gold Ford Granada, number TFT714S, stolen from behind Dome Road, Gateshead, on Saturday. Those registration numbers once again, THG389L, XCU651T and TFT714S. Keep your eyes open for them. If you've seen them parked perhaps near you and one of those it is, well, give the police a call straight away, will you? Jimmy Buffett there with backing vocals supplied by R. Duncan. From his album, Changes in Latitudes, Changes in Attitudes. Jimmy Buffett's album, that is, not mine. Right, dog of the day. We're looking for a good new home for a mongrel dog called Tex, who is 1 year old, tan-coloured and medium-sized. If you'd like to give him a home, please contact the RSPCA, Carl Road in Bencham. Telephone number 604-187. 604-187. Here's blinds and curtains. Hypermarket, that's right.
So there we are, that was me 40 years ago. What do I think of it now, listening back to my younger self? Well,
you're a mentalist!
It sounds a bit cocky to say it, and a bit smug. Not bad. There's a lot in that show. There's a lot of content. And trying to weave public service information, interviews, and all the rest of it with the music and keep it going and compete with Radio 1, not an easy task. It was an exciting time to be at Metro Radio because, apart from anything else, we had the Tube coming from there every Friday from Tyne Tees Television, which meant we'd get lots of guests, really top names. We either had to go to them or they'd come to us. Very often I'd be hanging around the studios or the Gosforth Park Hotel where the musos tended to be resident. And, I had Cliff Richard there. I had Little Richard, Bob Geldof did an Easter special with him, and two out of Frankie Goes to Hollywood when they were number one. And the deal was that I'd interview them as long as I took them to Tyne Tees Television from the hotel in my little car. And that's another story. And we also had Viz magazine there, which provided great entertainment. And they just made me very, very welcome, I must say. I was a bit worried when I went there, because I'd never been to the Northeast before I came over to see them, when I came over from Berlin to be seen and interviewed and auditioned. And I remember asking the program controller if they'd accept me, when I obviously wasn't from the area. And he said, as long as you're good, they'll accept you. It's a bit like Kevin Keegan in football. And I never had anybody complaining to me saying, what's that Southern Jesse doing on our Mitra radio? Or anything like that. If those complaints did come in, they weren't forwarded to me. And I suppose people like that just didn't listen anyway. But I had a great time there, and I'm very grateful. And for all the support I had from my producer, Brian Lister, and also from Giles Squire and Steve Martin. They were a good team. That gives you a flavour anyway of what independent local radio sounded like in the mid-1980s. Hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for listening. Next time, going to be talking about the events in my life 10 years previously to 1985, just 30 years on from V-Day, 1975, with the first ever UK-wide referendum, and this was on whether the UK should stay in the then European Economic Community, the EEC. And I'll explain my part in that referendum, and we'll talk about what we've learned from that amazing summer of 1975, all those years ago, 50 years ago now. That's next time on the Richard Rudin podcast. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe and share and spread the word. Until next time, look after yourselves and take care.